The following audio is a Sunday sermon from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Para Vista, South Australia. For more information about the church, please go to paravista.org.au.
Well, the Lord be with you.
Would you please pray with me?
Father God, we thank you for this little story of Jonah in your good book. I pray today your spirit would stir this message of this chapter into our hearts, and Lord, would bring transformation into the way we think, the way we talk, the way we treat others, and the way we think of people and look at people through your eyes. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is the last installment today of Jonah, and the whole aim has been growing God's heart for all people. Just to recap where we've come from over the last few weeks, Jonah chapter 1. God sends Jonah to go and preach against the evil and violent Assyrians in the city of Nineveh. But Jonah has grown up fearing the Assyrians and worrying about their atrocities if they should invade. So what does Jonah do? He goes down to Joppa, he hops on a ship and he sails to Tarshish, which we think is in Spain. And God sort of lets Jonah know, well, Jonah, I'm sort of watching over you. So God sends a storm. Jonah admits it's his fault, and eventually the sailors reluctantly throw him into the ocean, and a big fish swallows Jonah, and he gets to have a three-day retreat inside the belly of a whale. The theme of the chapter is, you can run, but you can't hide. Jonah chapter 2, we read about what happens next. From in the belly of the whale, Jonah starts crying out and praying to God for mercy. And God hears his prayer. God gets the whale to spew Jonah up on dry land, and relieved and wiping all the gunk off himself, Jonah says, well, salvation comes from the Lord. The theme of the chapter is, when you're down, look up. Look up to God and tell God what your troubles are. Last week was chapter 3. God commissions Jonah a second time. Go to Nineveh. Okay, so he gets to Nineveh, and on the first day, he proclaims, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. In English, an 8-word sermon. And what happens? The Ninevites believe him. And from the king down to the slave, and even the animals, they put on sackcloth, a sign of humbling oneself, and they fast. And everybody in the whole city and its surrounds commits themselves to turning away from that evil and crying out to God for mercy. Who would have believed the most brutal people on the planet would take the word of God from a visiting prophet so seriously? And the theme of that chapter is, thank God for second chances. Today's theme is God's compassion for all people. After God had spared the city of Nineveh, how do you reckon the Ninevites felt about that? Well, God was going to smash us to pieces, but he's actually allowed us to live. I think they were relieved and grateful and glad. How do you think the living God felt about that? I reckon God was delighted. Oh, isn't that great? Because I hate destroying. I'll do it if I have to, but I'd rather bless them. And I think God's glad, along with the Ninevites being glad. But when we get to Jonah, how's he feeling? He is as mad as hell. We'd say in Australia, as mad as a cut snake. He is furious. He's cranky at the Lord. He throws a temper tantrum. And he can't work out why God does not nuke Israel's enemies. So Jonah gives God a piece of his mind. Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That's why I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. In other words, Jonah's saying, oh God, it's just like you to do this sort of thing. And I would rather die than see your mercy extended to the likes of them. And at once we see the difference between God's heart and Jonah's heart. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. Jonah is judgmental and callous. The Lord is slow to anger. Jonah is quick to anger. The Lord is abounding in love. Jonah is abounding in hatred. Well, God questions Jonah. Well, Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? Now, Jonah, he's sitting outside the city, waiting and watching for God to smash him. You can just imagine him stomping his foot in the dust, wanting to, oh God, I wish you'd just wipe him off the face of the planet. That's what I would do if I were God. If you were God, are there some people that you'd like to vent your spleen on? Or some people you would like to wipe off the face of the earth? Perhaps those who commit acts of terror? Maybe those who abuse little children? Maybe those who exploit others for money? Slavery traffickers, maybe? Maybe a bunch of youths who steal a car and drive it fast and smash into someone at an intersection and kill them? Or perhaps even those who don't share your beliefs and values about human sexuality. When we are full of righteous indignation, wanting God to vent hellfire and brimstone on a bunch of others, then what does that reveal about our hearts? That we've become more like Jonah and less like Jesus. God wants to shine his light into Jonah's heart, so God sets up a little object lesson. He causes a vine to grow overnight and cover over the Jonah's shelter to relieve his distress in the heat. And Jonah is really, really happy about the air conditioning God has provided. But the next day, God sends a worm to chew through the vine and then sends a hot blasting wind. And Jonah gets so hot and angry, he just wants to die. And then the Lord challenges Jonah about his distorted value system. You, Jonah, have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for this great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? In other words, Jonah, you are more concerned about your personal comfort levels than fellow human beings. Why does a plant matter to you more than this city of people and animals I've just spared? Jonah, why can you not rejoice with me that my mercy has come to this city just as I reached out to you with mercy? Friends, I wonder whether we are more like Jonah or more like Jesus. Let me throw a few things out there. You know, the Lord of the Rings, there's this little fella called Spiegel. And when he finds the ring, what does he say? My precious. What in the world is most precious to you? What in the world would you refer to as my precious? And what is the most precious thing in the world to Jesus? Is your precious the same as Jesus' precious? What upsets you most in the world? What is it that upsets Jesus and breaks his heart and moves Jesus to weep tears? Are we more upset about the threat of losing some of our creature comforts than people facing a Christless eternity? Are we more distressed about a lawn that's dying than people who are dying without Jesus? In this story, God also is concerned for animals. Do we share God's concern for his creation? Is our loss of joy a symptom of fear in what's wrong with the world rather than hope in God's love and his plans and purposes to restore all things, including us? Does it offend you that God's compassion extends to the persons you most despise in the world, to those you think deserve it least? And maybe like Jonah, you jump up and down and say, "But God, it's not fair." Not fair? Not fair by whose standards? If you have at all sinned at any time in your life, what makes you think you deserve God's mercy more than anyone else? You see, friends, if anyone has a right to shout, "It's not fair," then surely it's Jesus. Was it fair that Pilate could find him guilty of absolutely no crime whatsoever, yet Pilate allows his execution? Was that fair? Was it fair that Roman soldiers flog him to within an inch of his life and then pin him with spikes through wrists and ankles into a cross? Was it fair that the best person ever suffers the worst thing imaginable? Is it fair that Jesus took what you and I deserved? Is it fair that the punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his stripes we are healed? Is it fair that Jesus, who won the victory over sin and death and the powers of evil, shares his victory with the likes of you and me? Is that fair? But there we see the compassion of Jesus, the love of Jesus, who is willing to take the blame for all our mess-ups and failures to save us from destruction and make us his forever. Yes? And we call that grace. And by definition, grace is not fair, because like the Ninevites, we have received much better from God than we have deserved. Yes? And when I reflect on this personally, it astounds me, it amazes me, it breaks me. It exposes the folly and pride and selfishness of my heart, and it makes me realize how ugly I can be, but it also softens my heart towards others. God's compassion for the world is so great that he wants none to perish, but to all receive forgiveness and life forever with Jesus. Every human being matters to God, and so should matter also to us, yes? If we share his heart, then it should matter to us. And that's why Jesus says, "Look, I want you, my people, my followers, to go and make disciples of all nations." We may not be called to preach in a foreign country or city like Jonah. Yes, I get that. Yet, we are Jesus' presence to a broken and hurting world. We are Jesus' presence to every person we rub shoulders with each day. It starts with your family and your friends. It includes the people you work with, play with, and live with. It includes the people from the world who are now living here with us. And as Jonah discovered, it must also include your enemies. Jesus taught his followers to love their enemies and pray for their persecutors. That's how far the grace and compassion of God extends. Respecting people, all people, and treating them as with dignity, as bearers of God's image. Loving them and accepting them like Jesus does, friends, that will open lots and lots of doors, many more doors to talk about Jesus than pretending we are better than them. Our attitudes to people, our words and our actions reveal what is in our hearts, whether it is the smug, complacent arrogance of Jonah or whether it's the kindness and compassion of Jesus. Yes? So friends, I'd invite you to join me in a prayer where we ask God to grow in us a heart that is more like Jesus' heart. Would you bow your heads? Dear Heavenly Father, give us eyes to see people through your eyes and hearts that beat with your compassion, especially for those who do not yet know you or your Son Jesus. Move us to pray for their salvation and to not give up. Help us to love people as Jesus loves them, to take an interest in them, listen to them, encourage them, eat with them, do fun things with them, or look for simple ways to help or bless them. Help us to share your kindness and your truth with such genuine love that it opens people's hearts to you. By your Holy Spirit, help us to share the good news of Jesus with gentleness and respect wherever you open doors of opportunity. Lord, where we have failed in the past, forgive us. And in the authority of Jesus Christ, we cast down and renounce every spirit of unbelief, timidity, complacency, pride, or arrogance that hinders your mission. Lord, renew in us a passion to see more people discover and receive the grace you offer all people in the name of Jesus. Amen.